Praise the Lord. Before we get into the word, I wanted to share an important prayer request with you. Susie is one of our child care teachers. I think she's been here the longest out of all the teachers that we have. And she's received some poor results from some biopsies. And we need to pray for her. Over the next couple of weeks, they're going to be doing some more testing and things. She is already a melanoma survivor. So we're going to claim victory over this and lift her up in prayer. So if you could commit her to prayer and her family. Again, her name is Susie, and she works at Kids Depot here with us. So if we could pray for her. Let's go ahead and go to prayer now, and then we'll get started. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Thank you for drawing us into your presence. Thank you for that sweet peace that passes all of our own understanding. I ask that you would help each one of us to set aside the cares of the day, to open our minds and our hearts to receive your word. Anoint my lips, Father, and let me speak your word. I speak against the spirits of distraction, and I ask you, Lord, that you would lose faith in this house tonight. Let us be transformed and let us be renewed. Let our lives not just be impacted for the moment, but let us be changed into your likeness. And God, we lift up Susie to you tonight, and we ask you, Father, that you would touch her as only you can do. And God, we claim healing in this situation for your glory, that you would be lifted up and that you would use something that's bad for good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before you're seated, let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, I think I typed this wrong. New things are becoming new. Behold, all things are become new. Praise God. You can be seated. I thought I fixed that. Old things are passed away, and all things are becoming new. Somehow, I wish we could really grab on to what that declaration means. The grace and the mercy of God and the fact that he's already taken all things and he's made them new. He's completed the work. He went to Calvary. He went to the cross for you and he went to the cross for me. And he went to save us from our sins so that we can be transformed in Christ. Amen? It's something sometimes I think that we almost take for granted and we don't really dwell on what that means. What he accomplished on the cross for you and for me. And the enemy wants to remind you who you were before the saving blood of Jesus. He wants to remind you who maybe your parents told you that you were. He wants to remind you that maybe the statistics say you should be something else. He wants to remind you of mistakes and things from your past. But that is not what Jesus wants. And tonight, I want to tell you that your identity is not in any crisis that you have ever endured. You are not worthless. You are not damaged. You are loved. Your identity is not in things. Money and stuff, they're really nothing. And truthfully, you have no idea how much money is borrowed or owed by people who have all that stuff. And in the end, nobody takes anything with them. Your identity is not in your past. It's not in your past. You have to understand that people don't know about God's calling on you today. They only see what they saw yesterday. And they're going to dwell on that. And they're going to remember you by your behavior. They're going to remember by what your mess-ups were. But remember that your mistakes, they don't define you. You have to get out of that box. You have to get out of that thinking because old things are passed away and God wants you to become new. The whole purpose of Jesus coming, living, and dying is to restore you, is to restore me. And he calls us to take on the character of Christ. And sometimes that's very, very painful. And sometimes that's very, very challenging. But 2 Timothy 3 reminds us that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. You see, God breathed into these words what we would need to help us to become the new creation that he desires for us to see. And he gave us the Holy Ghost to help us to walk in newness of life. And he desires to transform you and renew your mind. But you'll never walk in who you were designed and created to be if you won't let go of how you've been defined either by yourself or by others. So many people are living distracted lives today. Empty hearts are craving validation. Social media promises a band-aid on this ache. But those likes, those reposts, those comments, all that stuff is going to fade. The next big thing is going to come in. The next thing's going to go viral. And you're still going to have that ache. You're going to have that ache in your heart. And you have to be careful sometimes in that stuff and how much you put into it, because people won't always understand and people won't always support your purpose in life. And some of them may even try to derail you from the track that God has you on. But he's put you here for such a time as this. He has a plan and he has a purpose. And it's time to refuse to allow distractions, comparisons, competitions, insecurities, jealousy, all those things will rob you of God's purpose if you don't seek God. Seek to become who he's designed you to be and find your validation in him. Ephesians 4 tells us that we need to put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Because neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free man, there's neither male nor female, we're all one in Christ. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And nay, and all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. People are creatures of God, right? No other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God forbid, yea, let God be true, and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Because God is rich in mercy. His love is beyond explaining. There's no way. When we talk about mercy, we're talking about God not giving us what we deserve, right? Thank God for his mercy and for his grace. And his grace is giving us what we also don't deserve. He's empowering us. He's helping us. And he's saying, hey, in me, I can take care of all that. When you were dead in sins, I took care of that. And I'm going to quicken you together, because by my grace, ye are saved. If we will just set our affections on things above and not on things in the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I think in the New Testament about Paul, when he charges us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, in Ephesians chapter 6. You see, Paul gave an interesting recommendation for how to start out our day. Put on our spiritual uniform. Understand that Paul wrote during the Roman era, and he took from the dress and armament of the most powerful warriors on earth at that time. And he used them as an illustration for believers to understand how we ought to approach the day. Let's read in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The verse that I want to focus on tonight is verse 14, where it says, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Now, I've been through, like many of you, the armor of God many times. Been taught it in Sunday school, prayed it in the morning, gone through it. And we always start in the beginning and we say to put on the belt of truth, right? That's typically how we talk about it, putting on the belt of truth. But I think it's a little important to note here where it says, having girded your loins with truth. Because you see, in the ancient Near East, many, many, many years ago, both men and women both wore long robes. So when it was time to go to battle, or if they had hard work to do, they girded their loins by pulling the hem of the back of their robe up between their legs and tying it around their waist. That's what it means to gird your loins. The reason they did this was so that they could run and work and fight without the robe constantly getting in their way. This concept of girding, truthfully, is lost on most of us today, except for any of you ladies ever rode a bike and needed to tuck your skirt up? That's probably the closest thing in 2019 that I could think of where we would gird up our loins. But it's the same concept. So I decided to look up the phrase, gird up one's loins. And dictionary.com said that it means to prepare oneself for something requiring readiness, strength, or endurance. And then I thought, well, let's look up one more place. And vocabulary.com says, gird your loins and prepare for battle. Okay, no one says gird your loins anymore, which basically means tighten your pants. But gird is still used as a verb to mean get ready for a dangerous situation. To gird is to prepare for a military attack, but more loosely, it refers to readying oneself for any kind of confrontation. When you gird for something, you are preparing for the worst case scenario. Gird can also mean fasten something with a belt or a band, as in gird your loins, or it can mean to surround or encircle. Considering those definitions puts a whole new spin on what Paul's telling us right here about girding our loins. You see, Paul is challenging us as warriors to be well-prepared and equipped to fight the good fight. And the only way we're going to be well-prepared to fight the good fight, our girdle is the truth of the Word of God. And truth, the truth that's in the Word of God, is the truth that brings all the other pieces of the armor together into usefulness and purpose. Until we gather up the truth, we're going to get in our own way. You'll never avoid it. We will trip over our lack of self-awareness, our inaccurate perceptions, and our wavering emotions. Because let's face it, we all prefer to live within our own assumptions, don't we? But the truth binds all of this in a very effective way, so that we might go into the world and work the fields and fight the battles that we're called to, not the battles that we pick up. Every day we do battle, not just with the world, but with our own flesh, with our own ideas. And as you engage in the fight that God's called you to, make sure that you have girded your loins with His truth. We must prepare and strengthen ourselves for what is to come. The question isn't if you're going to engage. It's when will you engage? Because at some point, it's going to happen. And in 2019, our society has no idea who they are. Everybody's trying to figure it out and self-identify. We know who we are because he says who we are. Not because of what we think, not because of our ideas. We must know who we are if we're going to make it. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Message translation offers this paraphrase to the words of Peter that we just read. It says, so roll up your sleeves, put your mind in gear, be totally ready to receive the hope that's coming when Jesus arrives. Don't lazily slip back into those old grooves of evil, doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better then, but you know now. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life that's shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, I am holy. You be holy. And just as people in biblical times and in the Eastern world gathered up their long robes and tied them around their waists so they could move quickly and freely, today we need to do whatever it takes to focus our thoughts on those things that allow us to serve God without hindrance and with complete surrender. The Christian life demands an accurate awareness of a spiritual battle against our enemy. Our enemy is not each other. Our enemy is Satan. His flattery, his schemes, his tricks, they're difficult to resist. But the Word of God tells me that if I submit myself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But first, we have a responsibility to submit ourselves to God, to submit ourselves to the authority of his word, and to declare what is right, what is true, and what is holy. Because only God can determine what is truth. You see, it's not fluid. It's not something that changes. It's absolute. It's the word of God. It's forever settled. You're not going to change it. Just because your ideas change doesn't mean that God changed. And this is the standard that we will be judged by when we face him. He's not going to say, oh, you know what? That's okay. You know, we understand that Jessica had a different opinion on that and you guys followed that. No, he's going to say what was in my word. He doesn't care about your opinion. He loves you too much, and he's trying to ready us for eternity. And we must stand firm on the word of God. It is the only truth that we must cling to, and we must be vigilant, and we must always be prepared. We've got to be in the word. If we're not in the word, we won't know. What happened to Eve in the garden? She had just enough truth with one little word that made it a lie, and she missed it. If that can happen with only how many people on the earth? What more now? We must be in the word. We must know that what's being preached to us is the word of God. And we aren't going to know that if we aren't getting in the word. It's not going to happen. It doesn't just morph in us. Just because we've been around for 25 years doesn't mean we got it. It does not mean we have it. Because you can grow old in God and never grow up in God. It starts with a choice. It starts with making a commitment. It starts with submitting and saying, okay, Lord, what are you telling me? What does your word say? I've got all these voices. I've got all this noise. I've got all this stuff happening in my life, and I don't know where to turn. I don't know where to look. Look here. Start here. Don't look everywhere else. Go to the word. Go to God in prayer. He is truth. His word is truth. His truth will set you free. So many people are afraid of discovering what the truth is because they're afraid of what it's going to cost them. It might cost you eternity if you don't submit. And I don't know who this is for tonight, but I assure you that the Lord seared this into me on Monday. Because somebody needs to make the decision tonight that says, I will stand on truth. I will submit to God. And I will allow him to transform my mind. I will allow him to renew my thinking. Because in and of myself, I get it wrong. Maybe I'm the only one here, but I don't always get it right. I make assumptions. I put things together, and then I find out sometimes that I was really off base. And I know I'm not alone in that. And I'm going to ask you to stand already, because I don't want to belabor something that I feel like the Lord has already put into us. Girding the loins means that we're to be prepared in every way to follow Christ. We are to get rid of every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. God is calling us to be transformed into his likeness through the renewal of your mind. You cannot do this on your own. This isn't something that's once and done. I made a decision, I made a commitment. This is a continual process. This is every day saying, Lord, touch my mind, touch my spirit, renew my heart. I cannot do this. I must have you. It's not, Lord, I brought you in 20 years ago and I'm good. No, every single day, because his mercies are new every morning. And without his grace and without his mercy, none of us would be here and none of us would be able to live. We must allow God to reshape our minds through his word, not through the opinions of people, not through the opinions of culture, but through his word is where our mind must be transformed. We have to let go of what we think we know so that we can grow. And I invite you tonight to come and to give him whatever's weighing you down. Maybe it's not a sin, but maybe it's not right for you. And God's been talking to you and he's been asking you. He won't keep asking because he expects you to obey once he asks. Surrender your insecurities. Let go of what's behind you and walk in newness of life. He's already made a way. You have to make the choice because he can't do it unless you let him. And so I invite you tonight to come and to do some soul searching that says, Lord, what is it? What is it that's keeping me from being transformed? What is it that's binding me from taking the next step? What is it that I'm tripping over in myself? What is it that I need to release to give to you so that you can do what only you can do? So that you can do the supernatural, so that you can move beyond what I know in and of myself, because he says that he wants to do greater things than we can even think. Greater things is what he desires to do, but we have to be willing to let him in. We have to be willing to surrender what we think to be for what he says is to be. And I invite you to do that tonight in Jesus' name.
When the music fades. when I simply come, longing just to.
Oh, hallelujah. That should come on down to the front.
That's a word.
Surrender.
That will bless your.
Every time you pray, you need to surrender. So tonight's no different than what you should be doing all the time.
For a song in itself is not what you have required.
Oh, yes, Lord.
You search much deeper within.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back.
My Jesus,
to
my
heart.
Jesus. Give our heart to you, Lord.
It's all about you.
We give our heart to you, Lord.